Like I'll just give an invitation and we'll go eat. If you got your Bibles, let me invite you to turn to the book of Luke, the 15th chapter. When Brother Ken asked me to come and speak and told me this was homecoming, I was reminded of the greatest homecoming story that's probably ever been told or ever been written. The story of the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, I want to read you some verses starting in verse 20 through 24. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be angry, or hunt merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, this is nothing about the messenger. It's simply about the message. Lord, we're all going home one day. We're in that process right now. Been doing it ever since the day we came on this earth. But Lord, you prepared a home for us. And we all rejoice and look forward to that day of that great homecoming when we'll see our Father just as this young man came back to his Father. Lord, I look forward to that day and pray that these folks do the same. Forgive us where we fail you and cleanse us of all the sin in our life. And I pray it in Jesus' name. The greatest homecoming. In 1969, I graduated from veterinary school. June the 3rd was my last day. I'd been away from home for 6 years. All I could think about was packing up my car, that U-Haul, and coming home to my daddy, because that's all I'd ever wanted to do was work for my dad. My dad was a veterinarian. I grew up riding with him, going with him. Every time the car door or the car cranked up, no matter what time of the day or night, I wanted to go with him. You see, next to Jesus Christ, my dad was the greatest man that I've ever known. My dad never tried to tell me how to live life. He modeled life for me every day and let me watch him do it. Was I perfect? No. Was he perfect? No. But this is a story about a father. This is not a story really about a son. It's about a father. A father that loved his son. The wayward son reveals a side of God's character, which most people don't know, and that's his love. You know, this is a story about three young men, really. Jesus Christ wrote this parable. He spoke it. The prodigal son lived it, and the wayward son, he had a hard time understanding. But the story is really about a loving, caring, merciful father that will take us back no matter what we do. The Father's love does not depend on how good you are or what you do. The Father's love for all of us never changes. Never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And in verse 11 and 13 through 13, it says, And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. This young man got everything he wanted. This is about his attitude. Got everything. He got away from his father's control. He had everything he'd ever longed to get. He wanted to be in charge of his life, to live there where there were no rules and no regulations. He wanted to party all the time. He wanted to have complete freedom. That's what he wanted out of life. Some of us in this room today have always wanted that same thing. When we were younger, perhaps we did that. I imagine that young man didn't walk down the road from his father's farm, but he literally ran to get away from everything that was restricted to him. We see that in our youth today, in our homes, about how they want to get away. They want no discipline. They don't want somebody telling them what to do or how to do it. It does make a difference the way we parent our children today. You know, we still love them. We still care about them. But he was running towards a new freedom that he had wanted all along. He was running towards a life of fun, parties, booze, women. There was no stopping him now. He was on the road. He was happy. I imagine the young man was probably good looking. He was probably rich. He probably had a lot of friends. There was music playing all the time. The wine was flowing. The money was flowing. You see, his dad gave him just what he asked for. Gave him his inheritance. The Bible describes this as a wild spending spree. Why is it that what we can't have is what we always want? Even little kids don't want mama telling them what to do, how to dress, what to wear, brush your teeth, comb your hair. You know, we don't like that. I read a story, said a little girl was told the story of the prodigal son in a Sunday school, and she was asked the question, what does it mean to waste all your substance on riotous living? The little girl answered, to spend everything that I have on bubble gum. Riotous living for a young person. But let's talk about, we talked about his attitude, let's talk about his adventure. And life is more than money. The young man had great fun while the money lasted. There were new friends, girls, something to do all the time. But the young man was in for a shock. Something he didn't expect would happen soon. Probably something he never expected at all. These are the three things that really hit him hard. First thing is his money ran out. Then a mighty famine took over in the land where he was at. And the third thing is he became very hungry. When a young man is rich, good-looking, and prosperous, he has all the friends he can buy drinks for. Why is there never a shortage of friends to help when we got money to spend in our pocket? They'll come around. They're always there. But you need to ask yourself this question. Are the people that spend your money really your friend? Remember, a true friend loves you whether you have money or not. Proverbs 17:17 says that a friend loves at all times and a brother's born for adversity. I once heard someone say that friends are just like stars. They come out in the darkest moments of your life. Proverbs 18:24 says a man has friends must himself first be a friend. And there's a friend that sticks closer than brother. We all need to be a friend in order to have friends. Life is very different for the poor of this world. The so-called friends don't come around poor people. When you're broke, down on your luck, people run out on you. And that's what happened to this young man. When you get in trouble, there's nobody there to help you. Who usually comes around when you're broke, when your car won't run, when you can't make the house payment or the electricity payment, when you're sick? I'll tell you who it is that comes around. It's the folks sitting in these pews right here today. It's the church. It's the people that care about you, the people that love you, the people that'll come. They don't ask you why, when, what for, whatever. They just come, and they do what they need to do. This little man was in trouble, as we've read. He'd gone out to the far country, spent all his money, done everything, had nothing left, no friends. He's a foreign and strange land. He's bankrupt, no friends or relatives nearby, no government handouts. He's lonesome and he's hungry. We got people in the young people in this country today that are so picky about what they want to do, the job that they want, you know, and what they want to wear. They don't want to get up too early. They don't want to work too hard. They don't want to work too long. They don't want to wear a uniform. They don't want to wear certain clothing. Some people don't want to work because they can't wear an earring in their ear. Or they can't have a tattoo on their body. We've had people, young people, turn down jobs because of perks. No perks, no benefits, no time. Had a man come to me and apply for a job one time. He said, if you hire me, can I borrow money? That's the first thing he wanted to know. Could I borrow money from him if I hired him? But this young man, when he got down, so serious, and he's lost his friends, he's lost his money, he needed a job. He took the only job that he could find, feeding hogs. And back in that day, that wasn't a very good job, not for a young man in his position. He was desperate. He was starving. He was miserable. And the Bible says in this parable that no man gave unto him. Let's ask ourselves this question this morning. If he went around to his former friends, those whom he spent time with in the nightclubs and whatnot, do you think they would have helped him? Apparently not. What about the young women that he saw? You think they'd come back around? He's got no money. He's got nothing that would attract them. That was the only reason they were there in the first place, because what did he do for them? Did they help him? No. He spent his money buying meals and drinks for others. That's what we think sometimes, church, in this world, that we can buy friends. We can draw people to us by what we do. Let me tell you what I really believe. I'm drawn to people that I think look like Jesus Christ. I'm drawn to people that serve in this world. I'm drawn to people that care about other people. I'm drawn to situations where I can make a difference because I choose to be different. Oftentimes, you know, Jesus said, I didn't come here to be served. I came to be a servant. We want to be Jesus' eyes, his ears, his heart, his hands, and his feet. We want to be Jesus. We don't want to buy friends. We want friends to be drawn to us by what they see. You know, the Bible says that we need to let other people see Jesus in us. And they'll ask us, why do you feel the way that you do? What's the reason for the hope that you have? And we have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. There's an old saying that says, what goes around comes around. That's what was happening in this young man's life. He had bought his friends. It had been an adventure for him. He paid for friendship. You and I can't do that. He didn't tell his friends that the money came from a wise, generous father who worked hard for it. He didn't tell his friends of the blessings of God on his father. He didn't share the faith of his father with his friend. He didn't pray for his friends, or was he concerned about them? He was just buying them. He just wanted to live life. He was in the world. You know, we all have to be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. There was a time in my life that I was in the world. I took everything that the world had to offer me, pretty much, except drugs. But I was just like this young man. I had a father, both a heavenly father and an earthly father, that I could go to. So what did he finally do? He had an attitude problem. He went on an adventure, but then he decided it was time to take action. He came to himself. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he had yet was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. This is the best part of this story. It's a turning point when he came to himself. Sometimes we need to come to ourselves. I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments when it seemed like the whole world was caving in on you. There was nothing you could do. You were so far down that the only way you could look was up. And you finally came to yourself. And you said, God, I can't do this. I'm at the end of my rope. And he reached down and took you by the hand and said, come with me, and I'll take care of you. This young man had made a bad decision. He was in bad shape. He had no future. But he remembered the blessings of his father's house. And for the first time, that boy, probably in his life, had a good thought about life. He realizes that he was in a bad way. And he realized that people in his father's house were in a good way. They had everything that he desired to have. You know, food on the table, clothes on our back, houses, automobiles. You know, it makes no difference. I tell people I've had a house payment, $2,000 a month, and I've had one with $125 a month. And I was just as warm, just as dry, just as cool in the lesser house as I was in the bigger house, you know. But he's decided that it's time to go home. There's something good at home. There are people in here today that are in bad shape. Every one of us in this room have got some kind of issue we're dealing with in our life. Some more serious than others. They might be physical, they might be financial, they might be emotional. I don't know what they might be. But this boy had he came to a realization. He realized two things. First, he realized that he had sinned against his heavenly Father. To say that he had sinned against heaven is to say that you and I have sinned against the commandments of God. How do you know that you know that you know this morning that you know Jesus Christ? The Bible says we know him if we obey him. There's a lot of us in this room today that over the years we've had a lot of head knowledge about Jesus, you know. But we didn't have heart knowledge about Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus this morning, or do you just know about him? Do you have a personal, intimate relationship with him? The boy had sinned against his earthly father too. Not only his heavenly father, but his earthly father. He rejected his father's love, his father's protection, his father's plan for his life, and his father's God. A lot of us were raised in homes like that. Parents had us in church every Sunday, Wednesday night, Sunday night. We used to think to ourselves, I'd be so glad when I get away from the house and I don't have to go to church no more. All that thing about being drugged to church every time the church doors open. What had this boy's father done for him? He had worked hard to accumulate something for this boy. He had prayed for the blessings of God to pass on to his boy. He had protected the boy from worldly influences and temptations. And he had planned a prosperous future for the boy. He had all those plans. Our parents had plans for us. My dad and my mom had plans for me. And they were willing to sacrifice so that I could get an education and I could be productive in life. And that's what this boy's father had done for him. But he displayed great humility and courage. When he came to himself, he came to a difficult decision, all because he had learned a great truth about himself. What he learned about himself was the greatest knowledge of all. Socrates, the great philosopher, the Greek philosopher said, "Know thyself, and to thy own self be true." Do you really know yourself this morning? Do you know what's in your heart? Do you know what you want out of life? What you want to accomplish? When the boy came to himself, when he became to realize what he'd done, what had happened to him, and what he'd gone through, he realized two great truths, I believe. First, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He knew he had violated his birthright and his inheritance. He knew that he had lost everything. He walked away from his father. The second thing, truth that he came to, is he said, "You make me one of your hired servants." The only thing he wanted was to be a servant to his father. That's what we call repentance. Father, take me back. I'm guilty. I beg you to forgive me. Bring me back into the fold, back into my house. This is all about the Father's love. But we've talked about his attitude and his actions. We've talked about his acceptance of who he was and where he was at in life. He's come home. This is what the father didn't say to that boy when he came home. And you know, I don't know if we got people, families in here today with children that have gone away from home, wayward children. Perhaps you know a family. Maybe know somebody that's got a child that's gone into the far country this morning. But here's what I know that father didn't say to that boy when he came back home. He didn't look at him and say, "I told you so." How many times have we ever heard that in our life? "I told you so." He didn't tell him, "So you finally came home." He didn't look at him and say, "You should have known better." He didn't say to him, "Why didn't you listen to me?" I see no trace of regret or anger in the father. no desire to punish his son. All I see is the father's love and the compassion toward his son. This is when we get a glimpse of the love of God, of Almighty God in heaven for all of us. What is the Father willing to do for me and you this morning? He's willing to forgive, forget, restore. Same thing that he did, that this father did for this young man. There's three things I know this morning for a fact. God will let you go, just like he did that young man, like that father did. But just like that father took that boy back, God will take you back. So he'll let you go, but he'll take you back. And then God will bless you richly when you return. I'm reminded of a story. It's actually a song. You guys have probably heard it. I heard it sang. It's called the Apple Tree Song. It's about a young man that's on his way home on a train ride. And he's sitting there staring out the window, and across the aisle in another seat is an old pastor that's headed to a preaching engagement. He had just finished a revival, and he's taking his train to another one. And he's sitting there, and he keeps looking at this young boy across the aisle. And he looks distraught. It looks like there's something really heavy on his heart. So the preacher slides over and turns knee to knee with him, and he said, "Son, I don't know, but I'm just looking at you, and I feel like there's something going on in your life, and I'm a preacher. Is there anything I can do to help you?" He said, "Yes, sir, preacher, maybe there is." He said, "A couple of years ago, I got in an argument with my dad." He said, "It wasn't the first argument we'd ever had." He said, "But it got pretty heated, and I lost my temper, and I hit my dad, and I'd never done that before." He said, "I ran out of the house. Didn't come home that night till I knew my parents would be asleep." He said, "The next morning my dad came in and woke me up and said, 'Son, I got something I need to tell you.' He said, 'I hate this, but your mom and I talked about it last night. And I'm going to have to ask you to leave our house. We can't put up with what we put up with yesterday.'" He said, "Preacher, I left. I've been gone 2 years." He said, "A couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine invited me to a church service. And in that church service, I heard the gospel preached, and I heard about a man called Jesus Christ and what he could do in my life. And I accepted him as Lord and Savior of my life." He said, "I wrote my parents a letter and asked them, could I come home? And he said, I got no way to communicate with them." Pastor said, "Well, how do you think it's going to be when you get home, son?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, how do you know that you'll be welcome at home?" He said, "Pastor," he said, "this railroad track runs right by my parents' house. And in the front yard of their house is a big apple tree. Been there for years." He said, "I asked my parents. I told them, I said, if it's okay that I get off of that train, would you please hang some white rags or something on that tree? And I'll know that it's okay for me to get off. If not, I won't get off this train. I'll keep going." He said, "Preacher, we're going to be passing by that house in a few minutes. And the one thing that you could do for me, I'm afraid to look out that window because of what I might see." He said, "Would you mind looking out that window and tell me what you see?" "You'll see the house, a yellow house with green shutters, tin roof with an apple tree in front. And it's right up here." With that, the preacher began to look out the window. And as the train passed the house, the young man asked, said, "Preacher, what do you see?" And the preacher looked at him and said, "Son, that apple tree's in full bloom. There's a rag hanging on every branch. And there's an old man and an old woman got bed sheets waving. I think you're going to be able to go home." Our Heavenly Father will take us back home. He'll welcome us. Someone once asked John Newton as he lay on his deathbed, "Are you still with us?" And John Newton said, "I'm still in the land of the dying, but I'll soon be in the land of the living." That's homecoming, folks. We've got a Heavenly Father that's waiting for us to come home. No matter what we've done, what we've said, what kind of life we've lived. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what your relationship with the Lord is. I don't know if you've got issues in your life. But just like that apple tree, he's in full bloom. And he's standing here saying, "Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. You're not carrying any load that I can't help you with this morning." So I pray as Brother Ken comes and stands this morning, whatever you're dealing with this morning, come and share it with your pastor. Father, I thank you.